All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Commander and Coffee Podcast, where there's always something brewing. I'm Chris, a.k.a. Cypher.
I'm Billy, a.k.a. Quirk.
I'm Y, a.k.a. Nothing.
A.k.a. Nothing. Today, we have achieved the basics for a Commander tournament. We've hit a four-player pod. We have a special guest today. We're talking about something that's really interesting and exciting. In EDH and CDH, we're talking about leadership. So who better to have talk about leadership than our very special guest today, the owner and founder of Eminence Games, creator of CDHU, and overall dad to the CDH community, Mike Bond. How's it going?
What's happening? Thank you guys for having me on. I'm very excited to be here. We've done a lot of very, very exciting things in the last little while, and it should be a great episode today.
Yeah, we're really excited to have you. I mean, Eminence has just kind of exploded onto the scene, right? Punt City earlier this year into Mox Masters next week, I think, at this point in time, following into Silicon Dynasty in January. Just a lot going on from there. That companies really seem to explode into taking on tournaments for CDH.
Yeah, we're very excited. We're very eager. It'll play a lot into the topic here, but I'm one of four founders of Eminence Gaming with Mikey, Zane, and Marchesa 2022 winner, Koi Beto, or Ryan. We kind of all come together, and we had a vision. We delivered that vision in Punt City, and from that point forward, it's just kind of been a snowball of, you know, getting involved, getting out there, getting in the community, and ultimately giving the community what it wants and what it deserves, right? Which is incredible events run by, you know, built for players, built by players. That's our thing, right? And just trying to crush that as well as we can. So very, very busy 2023 coming up. And even busier 2024. We're already out that far.
Yeah, I know. I know. I love that. I was at Punt City, and I've kind of talked with you and a couple of the other Eminence guys, and you're putting out quality content. You know, I've been a 60 card grinder for a long time, and you're putting out quality. You know, that the big name Channel Fireball, Star City Games, and all that have been able to run those events too, and you're running them just as well with, you know, a third of the staff. So it's just been a treat to see that happen.
We appreciate it. It's a lot of coordination. It'll feed into some things that I'm sure we'll talk about here, but it's not a single person effort. It's not a set in stone thing either, where it's just stamp and go. It's, you know, the needle is constantly moving. The dial is constantly shifting. There's a lot of pieces that go into it, but fortunately, trust, guidance, and understanding where everybody needs to be and wants to be definitely helps kind of point us in the right direction. So
yeah, it's a team. And even more than that, you guys seem like, after interacting with you and Zane and Mikey and all of them, you guys are more like a family. And that really is a big dynamic that we meet. That's one of the reasons we call you dad.
Yeah. The dad moniker is, it started as a meme and is pretty much kind of, it's the thing now. It's just who I'm known as. There's the number of people that have no idea who I am until you say CEDH dad or DDM is astounding. So I'm glad that the family vibes have kind of become a public thing.
and that's like just one of many things that we appreciate about what y'all are offering to the space here in terms of CEDH. I think like all three of us, me and Cypher and Billy, we kind of have some like supervisory managerial experience. I mean, I'm going for my master's in arts management. So we kind of have like some background, but in terms of Magic, we play it, we don't really organize it. And I'm sure there's going to be some things that kind of match our expectations, things that we see. And for everything that we see, I'm sure there's three more things that go on behind the scenes that come out of it.
It can get a little messy in the back end. But on the flip side, some folks put a lot of weight onto things that it's not as complicated as people want it to be. A breach line is not as complicated as people think it is. Right. The first time you do it, it is. But after that, everybody's okay. So some things, yes, there are multiple layers to it. But that's why we have a team. That's why you trust your team. That's why you delegate. That's why you branch things out. That's why you have to just kind of guide. But on the flip side, there are things that's just kind of like, this is what we need to do. It's simple. It's cut. It's there. Go.
We understand layers for sure from the tournament experience. I mean, Blood Moon, Oko.
Yeah. Yes.
So also kind of on that same note, on top of running Eminence and running the tournament scene, you also founded and started CDHU, which is an online learning Discord for new players to get into CDH and kind of grow from there. I know we have a whole bunch of people that server is exploding. We started seminar series where people are talking about different topics in there, and it's just been blowing up since then. So it's another really cool feature, I think, that you've kind of spearheaded and brought to the community.
Yeah, it's been fun watching it, right? Every Discord or every space has that initial kind of explosion in popularity, right? Oh, there's this new thing, and you have a bunch of people that love to just join Discords. I'm not sure why, but they just flock in. At this point, it's starting to calm down a little bit, which is a good thing, right? We can focus on kind of the direct learning practices and teachings that we want to give out there. That's not to say we don't want the space to grow, but growing at such a rapid rate only because it's targeted feedback and focused learning in that space. So now that it's calmed down a little bit, you know, we have around 400 people in there at this point. We can actually start kind of piecing together some of the conversations and really start to target some of those folks. And I tell all of the mentors that are in there, and you guys are several of you, if not all of you are mentors in that space. I don't care if we teach one person or we teach 1,000 people. The message, the point of the space, it's great either way. And if we get one person to understand that, you know, the stereotypes of CEDH are not what they think they are, or to understand how to play the game, or to develop a love for this format, we won. That's the point of the space. We win. We did great. It's very exciting to see it come together, and it's very exciting to be a part of it and to run it and build it out. Eminence has 4 pillars to it. We have an outreach pillar, and that's CEDHU. We have retail, which is all the things that kind of help keep the ship afloat, right? We have our event management, which is stuff that we'll get into today. And then we also have our technology stuff, which is also stuff that we'll get into today with Command Tower. We have a couple of new web apps and things that are in development right now. So lots and lots and lots of moving pieces.
It sounds like on the surface, you're advertising mentors and students and players and organizers. But as a byproduct of all that, you're actually also offering ambassadors to the format, ambassadors to just the game as a whole.
Yeah, it's been nice to see folks get in there and see what it looks like from that side of things. From the mentors, there are some folks, and I was actually just having a conversation with Callahan and the Mind Sculptors groups about how the initial thought process of CEDHU was to take folks that had never played CEDH, that had never been at that level, and teach them how to do it. An interesting byproduct of having that space be developed and to come out of the mentor group is also watching the mentors figure out that in some spaces, they love to teach people. They love that they're sharing this knowledge. And to your point, you know, to be an ambassador of CEDH, they love to wear that flag. They put that sticker on their chest and they go. And then there's other folks that think they would have loved to be that thing. But when you put them in that environment and you're saying, hey, you have to own this conversation. You have to drive this thing. You have to take care of this. There is no ego here. There's no clout here. I don't care if you have 10,000 followers or 10 followers. I don't care. The message is this person wants to learn and it's our job to do that. Certain people figure out very quickly that they don't want to do that. And that aspect of it, you know, they wanted to be an ambassador of the format, but they realized quickly that, hey, maybe that's not my wheelhouse. And that's okay. The fact that we got them there, we got them to understand that there's less and less people that are trying to be an ambassador and are getting frustrated. And then that's where the discourse comes in, right? People get frustrated. They're like, no, your list is wrong. This card's bad. This is blah, 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 blah. We take all that stuff out of there. And when you introduce folks to that environment, you're making a better group of ambassadors by showing folks something that they may not have known before, which is, do I actually want to be there or do I just really love this format?
Yeah. I mean, that's been my college experience, is like finding out what you don't want to do can be just as impactful as finding out what you do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think that's a big takeaway too. Like I am a mentor, full disclosure. I do help out a lot in the turbo and combo strategy sections. And that's a lot of what we're doing in there is there's not a lot of ego. There's not a lot of, oh, this is the premier choice. It's all about perspective, right? Like, hey, I'm running this and I'm testing this and here's what I'm seeing. And here's a different way to take the approach and look at it and run through those prerogatives. And it's just been really insightful, not only to people we're mentoring, but to the mentors themselves to kind of give them their own kind of take into how the format looks and what it looks like. So overall, I've been very impressed. I absolutely am a huge fan of CDH, and I encourage all of our listeners to join CDHU if you haven't already. It's a great resource and a great tool that is available for
that space. And that's really what it comes down to, is that it is a tool. It is a resource. It's a revolving door. People have lives. People have interests. Interest shifts. Hobbies shift, right? So it's not that once you're here, you're here. You know, you can come and go as you please. And it's important to kind of have that understanding that it is about perspectives. In our mentor guidebook, which is a thing that exists, but all of our mentors have been in there long enough at this point that it's probably not too much required, literally says that nobody has a definitive answer. Nobody has a definitive, like, this is the case. This is the objectively correct situation. A lot of the conversations that are driven in all of the spaces are things that are perspective, things that are, in my experience, this is what I have found. To kind of take a person that's never seen that stuff and have them figure it out themselves and us just kind of guide the needle as we go. You can't do that if you're trying to just say, yeah, you know, that card's bad. Don't put it in there. See ya. You got to go an extra couple steps. So,
yep. With all that being said, let's get into the main topic. Today, we're talking a lot about leadership in the CDH space and kind of what that looks like. So really wanted to kind of pick your brain through some questions and answers and kind of go through what that looks like for you in a day-to-day. But to kind of start it off, in your own words, what does leadership in the CDH mean to you? What does that look like?
So it's a moving target, really. Leadership in regards to eminence is an interesting space because I think the shoes that you wear, you're not the best at anything, right? And you have to be okay with that. Like, you have to ego check yourself. And I think you have to do that in CEDH overall, is you can't let your decisions be ego driven, because then you're not leading at that point. You're just ensuring that your perspective is the one that goes. For eminence, Mikey is a better TO than I will ever be. And I accept that. But I can guide Mikey's decision-making to ensure that the players, what they want, what they're looking for, what the community is trying to get out of things, you know, we make the appropriate decisions together to get there. Zane knows more about, you know, computers and coding and developing and leading that group than I ever will. But I can lead Zane and help those decisions that he makes get closer to kind of what the community wants, what the community needs. So at the end of the day, in CDH or in eminence or anything like that, I think leading is not necessarily you pointing the finger and just saying, yep, this is what we're doing. But it's the ability to kind of look at your strong points, look at your weak points, be it in a deck, be it in your staff, being in the situations that you're in, whatever the case may be. Look at your strengths, look at your weaknesses, and then start being able to move the levers and dials to maximize what the outcome of your decision-making will be long-term. Right, we have huge goals for eminence, you know, down the road, 2024, 2025. All the micro decisions that we make right now, we make as a team, and that's so that we can kind of get there long-term. If it's just me and I'm not delegating and I'm not getting the input, I'm losing out on huge amounts of perspectives and position. So,
yeah, I agree. I think one of the biggest takeaways when you're in a leadership role is you have to lead, but you also have to trust and rely on your team to do the work. Absolutely. Right? You're setting the foundation, you're setting the groundwork, and you're acting as the guiding factor to that. But they're the experts. They're the ones that are, you know, in the programs doing these day in and day outs. And they're the ones that are going to really deliver that mentality. So for me, always being a leader is they're supporting the team and driving that. That's the biggest critical piece for me.
Yeah. You have to be able to be wrong. Like, it's so many leaders are so dead set on, I lead. I have knowledge that other people don't have and I will share it, but you have to do this thing. And, you know, no. We had vendors at Punk City. one of which was Swordenstone, right? Ryan was there, great friend, awesome shop. Went there yesterday, went, saw Bill and you know, the group there. I called Ryan, our very first communication that I had on the phone with him, we were talking about vendor contracts and how to get through, you know. We thought we had, we being Eminence, right? We made a decision that this is the way we're going to lay out a vendor contract. We're going to work through these things. We're going to make it work. Okay, sounds good. I'm going to start calling vendors and getting everybody locked down, so on and so forth. I call out to the vendors, and, you know, I call up Ryan. We're talking for a little bit. And then I present the contract to him. And immediately, his very first words were, no, I'm out. Because the way that the contract was written, because we're still fairly new to this, and again, I'm not the best at this, right? I have a person who is, but it's not necessarily me, but I will help guide this whole thing. In that situation, I was wrong, and I have to be able to eat that. I could have just hung the phone up and just went, nope, Ryan's out, we'll go to the next one. But I didn't. I said, okay, well, while we're handling that, let's shelf that, but tell me what it looks like from your side. Right? What do you want out of this relationship? How do you want to guide this? Right? There's got to be a middle ground that we can kind of reach here. And he went through and explained so many things to me about how, you know, we make this decision, we do this over here, we go over that way, we make whatever. And I think as a leader, it's important to be able to just kind of sit there and go, okay, yep, I was definitely wrong there. And now that I actually asked the question to learn why I was wrong, I don't ever have to be in that situation again. And two, you know, Ryan and I are good buddies at this point. We have developing relationships. We have developing businesses. We have all of these different things that are going on. And it's because I put the ego aside and as a leader was like, hey, I was wrong, but let's teach me something. And it's important for leaders to be able to do that.
I feel like it's kind of a common statement to make about the importance of mutual trust, on relying on your coworkers, relying on your, you know, your colleagues. Going more specifically, I think that it's important to have mutual accountability, to know that the other person is self-reflecting, looking for those mistakes without being prompted. And I think that, like, that's such a building block of modern professional relationships, is just having that, just as a trust builder, that showing of vulnerability.
Yeah. And I'll follow that up with, you know, I don't think it, yeah, I can say it much better than that, but I will add to that. One of the biggest feedback things that we've seen from people that have talked about us as a team, you won't hear me talk about myself a lot, right? I'm just a guy doing things. I'm glad that it's working out, but we'll, you know, I don't toot my own horn. But some of the stuff that we've heard as a team is, it's crazy how well we operate as a group, and there isn't any like helicoptering. There's no micromanagement. There's nothing like that. And you saw it at Punt City, right? Hey, registration's open, go. And we make a decision as a group to say, okay, you guys are here, you guys are here, you guys are here. This is your space, own it, move. And you never saw, you know, me hovering around trying to, you know, make sure everything was good. I wasn't in the stream room, double, triple checking everything. I wasn't, you know, at the registration desk or always hawking Max, you know, with the judge group. There's trust and being able to delegate out your processes to this group of people that you trust to get it done well. And you have to be able to just step back and go, yeah, they got it. They have this. It's going to be all right. I'm here. If you have questions, if we run into an issue, let's talk about it, bring it up immediately. And like, let's get through it. On the flip side of that as well, there's also the ability to, one of the things that I've talked to the founders group and as well as anybody that's come on to, you know, Eminence, is when you're done, whatever we've kind of requested you to work on, right? Be it a graphic, be it, you know, a post, a feature design, whatever the thing is, it's almost a requirement for you to ask for feedback. Like, I don't ever let anybody walk through the door and just go, yep, it's done, throw it on the table and walk away. That's not how we do things. It feels weird because I don't boss people around unless I tell everybody to hang up the phone and go enjoy their weekend. That's pretty much the only demand I make on people. The instruction more or less is ask for feedback because we want to be, you need to be able to accept it and take it and be able to pivot, be it in a leader role or as somebody just on the team or anything in the middle. having that feedback, being open to criticism and adjusting is super important.
Yeah, exactly. And to add to that and to not necessarily put a full bow on it, but put a bow on it for our listeners, this applies to you as a listener. You may say like, oh, I'm never going to start my own gaming company or move through this. But like we talked about with CDHU and mentoring and being a fan of a deck or whatever you're playing to kind of check yourself, to not take those criticisms. These are tools and things you can, I can correlate and say, instead of, you know, when Mike said, oh, well, like I let Mikey be the TO and be the best TO. I mean, you do that with certain cards in your decks, and you do different things like that from a commander's perspective. And these are all tools you can take and use them in your communications and your conversations with your friends and your peers and your deck buildings, and to really help define and grow the community, as opposed to, you know, coming in with the, I'm the best, I have this ego and I need to, you know, do these things. These are all tools that will correlate to that for you in the long term.
So good call on that, you know, Cypher, with bringing this back to the player, bringing back to the people that are listening to this and everything else. We are running a gaming company. We are running a business with a lot of different pieces. But if we boil this down, these are all things that you can apply, just like you said, to your deck building. I tend to think of it not just into the deck building, but also how you interact with the community, right? You are the leader of your own little niche micro universe, right? Like, you lead every decision that goes on in your little world. And I think that some folks, if you take some of these lessons of always be open to criticism and always be open for feedback and always look for, you know, a place to improve, right? You know, perfection is always a moving target. If you take these things and you apply that to just like Twitter language is a great thing. How can I take my 120 characters and make it not sound like I'm telling somebody that they're completely wrong? And, you know, we're trying to open this up and be kind of open-minded into things. Being able to adjust that, being able to pivot your perspectives and be open to things, that's how we get away from what currently is, you know, a very discourse-driven, you know, community online. And we start being a little bit more open-minded and being able to kind of guide each other and be open to each other. Like, there's nothing wrong with you just going, you know what, you're right, and walking away. Whether you believe it or not, sometimes it's best to just let the stuff go. And it's important in leadership to be able to do that. Of, okay, not necessarily with your group, but if there's a competitor, or if there is a hard decision, or a vendor that doesn't want to deal, you know, doesn't want to work with you because of your contract, or the space is being complicated, or so on and so forth. It is perfectly okay for you as the leader of your microverse or business, whatever it is, for you to just go, okay, that's not working out. Or, okay, I didn't like the sound of that, and just walk away. That's okay. That's all right to do. You have it from me. It's all good.
You have the power to control your own destiny. That's what it boils down to.
In the conversations you're having, in the deck building, in the leader's role, you know, I haven't been a leader in Magic per se, but I've been a leader in my professional life for the better part of 10 years now. And some of the times you'll come across a situation where you know that this person is wrong, but they're passionate about it and they want to try it. And sometimes you just let them, they have to fail on their own. You be there to support them when they do fail, right? That's the critical piece there is when they do hit that wall, be like, okay, I'm here. Let's fix it and let's get you back on track. But ultimately, sometimes they need to do that on their own, right? You can't save everybody in some regards too.
So. God, I feel so targeted. The number of bad decks I brought up to you guys.
Sometimes I don't let you roll with it. I'm like,
yeah, you. We got, you know, listen, sometimes the baby bird's got to fall out of the nest before it can actually fly.
Well, they die.
Well, I mean, that's the risk we have to take.
I'm here. I haven't O2'd in a while, so.
I think another piece of that is how you present that person. Like, that's a huge piece in CDH, is this person is so hell-bent on this card or this deck or this commander, and they just refuse to move the needle at all for you. Okay, so you have two options, one of which is, okay, I will be here when this goes the way that I'm telling you it's going to go. But until then, you know, I'll let you drive. Go for it. Let's see what happens. And we'll be here and help you up when things get crazy. The second option is something that I've kind of worked with Eminence and worked with, you know, some of the mentor groups and stuff that I do in my professional career. For me, professionally, I train people on how to use super complex like software and run manufacturing processes in biopharm. So my job is to train people on how to do hard stuff, and I do it every day. So that's like my niche. One of the biggest takeaways and lessons that you can kind of apply into those hard conversations are find a way, and it's okay if you don't have the answer, you can ask for it. Find a way to have them come to the conclusion themselves. You can sit and tell somebody that a card is bad and here is why. And no, I'm telling you, this card is not good because it costs too much, or it doesn't draw you enough, or it doesn't counter the right thing. The other side of that is, okay, what does that card counter? What does the meta look like right now? You know, what is this? What is that? And have them kind of build the picture themselves. And at the end of it, your whole goal is for them to go, oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. You know what? This card that only counters creature spells is really not that good. You know, I understand now. And it's hard. It takes a lot of time to drive that way. But when you get there, it's so impactful because you just taught them how to ask like 17 questions about card analysis. You taught them about their deck. You taught them about this. And it works out really well. Some people don't want it. And that's, again, walk away. That's okay. But on the flip side, if you're going to lead and you want to kind of guide that conversation and you're also really dedicated to just trying to get this point across, that is a tactic that works phenomenally for both you and the person trying to learn.
That's such a good deck building question to be asking too. When you're talking about the meta, if you're talking to someone that you don't know on like a personal level, like if you're talking to someone on Discord or any of these online communities, a good question to be asking is, are you building for a general meta, like a tournament meta of people you don't know, or are you building for a local meta? That can change a good 10%, if not more, of your deck.
Yeah.
And I think that also funnels into a lot of what I see in the community of somebody saying, oh, here's the best deck. Here's your 100 cards. Just go and play this. You'll be fine. Give a man a fish, feed him for a day, teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime. By taking that leadership role and that expertise to kind of walk them through and have them understand what's really going on and why certain choices were made. And, you know, again, checking the ego and just kind of explaining to it, you'll actually strengthen your community, strengthen your team, strengthen whatever you need to in the process of that. And, you know, one of my favorite things too in that role is even being proven wrong, right? When I say, oh, I'm doing this, and then the person comes back and says, no, I tested it and it was absolutely phenomenal. I'm like, okay, cool. Well, I was wrong. I'm human too, right? I make mistakes, but you know, to have that humbling to take back, okay, I learned something. Thank you. You know, you taught me something, which is really great to see.
I heard that adage differently. I thought it was feed a man a fish and they're going to combo out with Thassa's Orful.
No, you feed a man's fish and they win the game.
I think it's, I'm trying to remember. So I had a thought and it's fluttering away from me, unfortunately.
Yeah, my puns typically do that to everybody here.
I appreciate it.
Sorry.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's okay. It was something along the orders of there is no best deck. There is no any of that, right? There's two high variants. There's 23,000 cards. There's always a thing that's out there, right? Being proven wrong is not necessarily a bad thing. And it's also empowering on the end of the person that you're trying to lead, right? You see this in corporate culture constantly and almost to the point where it's annoying, where they're just, you know, we want to put the power in the hand of the employee. We want to put the power in the hand of, you know, the brewer. We want to put the power in the hand of the player. We want to do all those things. And it's great. And it's true. I think some corporate culture fails is the authenticity of, you know, them trying to deliver that message. But when it comes into CEDH or it comes into Eminence or anything like that, you have to be able to be genuine. It's okay to prove me wrong. Like, I'm not the end all be all. And it's important to kind of guide that needle and make sure that, you know, give the player the ability to be right and be okay with the player proving you wrong in that, because that ultimately will make a better CEDH player. And that's what we're here to do. This conversation goes two ways. I'm here to listen to you as much as I am to kind of talk to you.
Yeah. So with, that kind of being the case, I wanted to move in and just kind of ask some general rapid fire questions, just to see kind of what your thoughts were and kind of some interesting points about Eminence, about your leadership role and everything like that into the community. So kind of going through here, what's one thing in your business or successful venture, Eminence, CDHU, your own personal business or whatever, did you find that you didn't expect, that was kind of like, whoa, that kind of came out of left field, I didn't see that coming?
This is a tough question, right?
I only do hard ones.
That's okay, and that's all right. So I'll answer the question with kind of a, I guess, a weird clapback, if you will. As a person, me, you know, in my position, I assume no absolutes, right? And I think that helps to the point. The reason why I say that is I think it helps for me to avoid the situation you just said. To be honest, I haven't been surprised by the success of Eminence, nor would I have been surprised by the failure in certain points of Eminence or CEDHU. Same thing goes with my personal life or my, whatever it is, because I assume no absolutes in, yes, if we do this, it's going to go, it's an absolute banger, right? If we do this, it's going to be an absolute whatever. It's conversations and looking at all the decisions of being comfortable with failure and being comfortable with success and being able to just kind of ride the wave wherever it goes, right? You have your team there. At the end of the day, like, it's going to, if you're looking for an absolute answer, you know, the success of Punt City and the success following Punt City, we were expecting good things. We were expecting good turnouts and good interactions. The level of which the turnouts are, the level of success afterwards, it's not surprising, but it can get a little overwhelming sometimes. And whenever I feel like things are going a little sideways or things, you know, I just need help making these decisions because there's a couple things that are floating around. That's why we have a team, right? The four of you make this podcast, or the three of you make this podcast together. If somebody's falling off on one end, the other person picks up the slack, right? If I'm feeling a little down in the way, Mikey's right there to pick me up. If Zane needs a little bit of a break, we have people that can handle it from other perspectives. And that's why we don't really get caught with our pants down. Everybody's on the same wavelength, and we're just doing our best to give the community what they deserve. And I think that helps a lot. So it doesn't necessarily answer your question, but it kind of answers your question, you know?
No, it does definitely answer the question in a very roundabout way, but like, it's still very poignant, and it really drives home who you are as a person, because you can tell from just meeting you. I mean, we've only technically interacted in person now after yesterday, three times, in all honesty.
Yeah.
But like,
facts.
Your entire vibe, like, when we showed up at Punt City, went, checked in, and I literally immediately said to Zane and Mikey, I said, hey, where's Dad?
Where you at?
And they're like, where's Dad? I'm like, I gotta see Dad, you know? Mm-hmm. And he pointed us, and you were just literally just chilling like a normal human being.
That's it.
At the bar, paying your tab. Like, that's, and the thing it. Is, like, it's a human thing. That's why a lot of people look up to you, is you're not sitting there, you're not sitting on your high throne going, well, I run Eminence and CDHU, you know, bow down to me, because you don't. Like, and that's what made me like you as a person, more than a TO, more than a celebrity per se, you know what I mean? More as somebody that, it's more of a person that I would want to have in my inner circle because of the way you are.
I appreciate that. I think that comes down into leadership as well, right?
Exactly. Being human, being real.
It's a huge leadership thing. It's also like a deck pilot thing, right? From a business perspective, I will always be the guy that's just doing things. When everybody's like, oh my God, this thing worked out really, really well. You did so good. I didn't do good. The team did good. We did good. I might have made a decision at some point that this is what we were going to do. But after that, we built this thing. So it's all of us going down this road. But the amount of people that have literally zero idea of who I am, where I'm at, because I don't flex it. I'm here to do a job, and I'm here to give the community what they want and what they deserve. Our retail stuff, we're designing cool shit to people want to wear, want to play on, want to play with. Technology-wise, we have the pairing program. We're working on something that's kind of, it's not a database, but it'll enable you to kind of, when a new player is looking for a deck to play, instead of it just being the conversation as it sits right now, it'll actually help guide that decision a little bit. Everything that we're doing as a team, as a group. And it's amazing that people, they don't know who really runs Eminence, because nobody really runs Eminence. We all run Eminence. And I'm not going to be the guy on the throne that's just like, yeah, it's me, I'm the guy, gotta get it. And it's not that thing. At Pond City, it's funny. I was sitting down just at the stools talking with Harry, who built Moxfield. Harry's a very close friend of mine. Like, I talk to Harry literally every day. We're just sitting there having a drink, just relaxing at the table. And the amount of people that are just walking past, there's people having issues and we're having to correct people or something like that. And they're going, oh, you're going to have to talk to the director. And you just see people like, who's that? Where? And then they just point at me and I'm just like sitting there in a t-shirt and shorts and look literally nothing like the part. And all of a sudden they realize like, holy shit, I just walked right past that guy and just side-eyed him and like gave him an attitude. It's like, it's all right, bro. It's cool. Don't worry about it. It's all good. Don't worry about it. We're all human. We're all people. Don't worry.
You'll be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Like be a leader, but do it in silence. I'm in a thousand different discords. I see everything. That doesn't mean I got to sit over here and wave my flag and toot my horn. That's not me.
Right. Right. Even at the event yesterday, I asked Mike to say a few words about his thing, and it was one of the quickest, spoken pieces that I've ever had. He was like, hi, I'm Mike. This is my kid. CEDHU. Check us out. Have a nice day. Yeah. You know, and that humbleness is really big. I mean, not to hype you up any more than y'all already needs to be, but like, that's also kind of the thing that we look for on our podcast from the education side and kind of trying to get people into the format. You know, we want to grow the format as much as you do at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, it's important to have that. And like, you look at certain places, you look at certain people in the community, right? Sheldon is a great example of this from leadership in CEDH and leadership in EDH overall, right? Sheldon is very good at being involved and making a statement and sticking to his guns and being open to feedback and leading the group. There's a lot of people that don't like him. There's a lot of people that love him. That's just the way it is. And that's okay. And he's good with that. And then you have some other folks that are just like dead set on education. Josh, Elder Drunken Highlander, is one of the sweetest human beings on the planet. And he will walk any kid anywhere through a line on any deck, period, and just wants to help you out. And that's his like shtick. That's who he is. Right. My shtick as a leader is quite literally the community has been asking for XYZ for 1,000 years and nobody's moved. Right. There is a gap here between A and B. It can be getting casual folks to CEDH. It could be teach someone CEDH and they hate it. How do they unring that bell and go back to casual? It can be having accessible and affordable events. It can be navigating the waters while certain people, you know, have attitudes or talk and brew dramas. Any of those things. My job is now to give the community the best thing that I can, because you deserve that. And that's what I'm gonna do. I don't need a flag. I don't need to. Mikey won't do it. Zane won't do it. None of us in the founders group are like, oh, we're Eminence. That's why the Eminence account has no names on it. It's literally just an Eminence account.
Love that. Absolutely love that. And like, you know, you said about people bringing you in and growing the format and helping people get from point A to point B, or from point B back to point A. We ourselves as a play group, myself, Chris Y, and a couple of our other friends, our little crew, we just kind of naturally progressed into that. We some of the New York people were down there with us from another crew.
Yep.
And we literally took them out to dinner last night. We went to our old stomping grounds, who every Friday night, my little crew would all get together, play some Commander, and then we would leave and go to this pizza joint. And we literally took them there, and they had a blast. They found things that they didn't think they'd ever see, different types of beers and stuff like that, and they had so much fun. And now I'm going to go out there next week and see them. I'm hoping they do the same for me. It depends on what time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's cultural exchange.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's important to be an ambassador of the culture you want to see. Right? Be it at home, be it in Dex, be it wherever you want to be. Just be the culture you want to see. I'm probably insane for saying this, but I am a firm believer that 90% of the EDH community is incredible human beings. I think that everybody speaks with the best of intention. I think that people try their best to answer questions, get involved. They see somebody new and they just get really, really excited, right? It's a, you know, a dog with a new toy. We're just super thrilled to do this thing. I'm a firm believer that the community at large is that thing. The problem comes in when certain people say certain things and they mean well, but it doesn't read well. And people just take it to heart, and we're sensitive as a community. So anything that I'm trying to do, right? Take folks out to dinner, go to the tournaments together, answer any questions, be open to feedback. All these things that we're talking about help people just become better at navigating the waters of getting into this. It is kind of an extreme play environment, right? It's tough. You don't just walk in the doors here. Now your meta can naturally progress to it, like to your point, Billy, but you don't pick up an EDH deck, you know, and just the first game you play is EDH. That's not usually how it goes. It can be, but it's not usually the case. Usually there's some sort of progression to it, and you have some, you know, some good habits, some bad habits, some this, some that. And the community is just trying to do their best and become friends with each other and develop with each other and do all these things. But sometimes it's not that easy. Sometimes it's, you know, oh, this person said this thing and they're wrong and they said it angrily and I don't like them anymore. I'm going to need you to take 20% off the top and kind of be an adult here because they didn't mean that, right? They tried to get a point across and maybe it came off a little hot and heavy, but it's now your responsibility as an adult or receiver of the information to, again, provide them the feedback. I've never had a bad interaction on Twitter.
That is impressive.
Every time that everybody's like, oh, this place is a hellscape. If you just learn your lines, you respect the boundaries and the information of other folks and the position of other folks. And again, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. Understanding that maybe getting them to come to the conclusions themselves is a way for you to kind of balance out your own mental health. Being able to just walk away from a discussion, being able to be a positive, you know, kill them with kindness, right? There's 1,000 different ways to do this for you to have a positive experience. But if you just start taking stuff to the chest, thinking that like, oh, I'm going to take this personally. Yeah, it's going to be rough because somebody's going to tell you to go pound sand and kiss their ass. You have to be able to move away from that. Like, and that's why my experiences are good. Yes, I've gotten yelled at on Twitter, but my follow-up question isn't, you're wrong and I'm right and here's why. My follow-up question is, okay, well, explain to me why you feel that way. Like, maybe you're right and I'm wrong and I'm okay with that, but like, tell me why. I'm good with that. And people will, because they love to make sure that they're heard and right. And at the end of that, you just kind of go, you know what? You're right. Yeah, I was wrong. You know what? I'll take that. Yep. And move on.
Yeah, and this mentality of you know, having that mindset is very important, and especially in CDH, because I think it was mentioned earlier, we're basically a niche of a niche of a niche in this format, right? We're a niche of magic of EDH, which is a niche of magic. We're so small comparative to the rest of magic you can't have that. You know, you can't walk in and just see the place on fire and everybody has egos and, you know, everybody's right and nobody's
check
wrong.
That
and
shit all that at the door.
Yeah.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
That makes people walk in and go, yeah, I'm going to leave. And then they walk back out. And we don't want that. We want
to
keep.
But that's also going. Like, that's something to be said of what I said in the beginning, right? Is understanding yourself as a player, understanding yourself as a leader, right? Let's bring it all on topic, understanding yourself as a part of a overarching system, right? Is understanding your perspective, understanding where you're comfortable and being willing to learn things about yourself. And that goes back to the story I was telling initially with some mentors. You know, you see it on Twitter all the time where everybody's like, I would love to show you how this deck works. I would love to walk you through CEDH. Oh my God, we're so happy to have you. And then you put them in a space where their 5,000 followers can't also comment on that post and help that person through. And you put them in one-on-one. And now all of a sudden you realize, or that person realizes that, okay, I've never been in this situation before. And now that I am, I really don't like this. They're poking holes in my logic. They're, you know, maybe, holy shit, maybe I've just been piloting this deck the way that I'm comfortable piloting this deck all of this time. And I'm finally starting to realize things, and they walk away from stuff. They just walk out of CEDHU. They walk away from the Twitter drama. They walk away from learning or trying to teach folks because they realize it's not their wheelhouse, and that's okay. Right. We boil all these things back down to that's okay. It's okay to play Winota the way you like to play Winota. It's okay to play Brea. It's okay to build Lannis as your own little pet deck. It's okay to do those things. No one is objectively better than anyone else. It's just do your thing and be all right moving in the space.
I think the adage is there's no comfort in the learning zone and there's no learning in the comfort zone. And in order to improve at something, you have to be willing to be vulnerable.
Yes, absolutely. To lead something, to grow something, to build something, to do anything, right? Again, we're all leaders in our own little micro universes, right? I'm a leader of Eminence. Going past that, Scoots is a leader of the media group. Shauna is a leader of the stream on Fridays. Adam is a co-leader of the stream on Fridays. The people that are in the chat are leaders of whether or not they're going to decide to donate or use Prime or whatever they want to do. You lead the decision-making in your own spaces, in your own groups, and having that vulnerability to say, man, I really want to donate, but right now is not the right time. That's okay. Man, I really, really like the way this graphic looked, but Adam told me I didn't like this font. Okay. All right. Well, that's okay. I can shift a little bit and adapt. Hey, you know, Scoots, I really don't like a 2-hour stream. I think we should cut it back to 1 hour and do multiple per week. That's okay to be wrong. Mikey looking at me and say, hey, 75-minute rounds is enough, but we want to shift, you know, turn placement at the end of it. It's okay for me to be wrong. It's okay for him to bring those things up. It's okay for somebody to tell you that Thassa's Oracle is not as good as you think it is. It's okay for people to run Mind Break Trap over Stifle. You are the master of your own world. Do whatever you need to do. Just understand that, like, it's okay.
I couldn't be you because I get heated about font choices.
I understand that. I know a lot of people do. Greg is another one. He's got his little font universe.
It's a character flaw.
I've learned a lot about fonts, but again, I don't live in a world of absolutes. I like this font. You know what, Mike? That font sucks. You should do this one. You know what? Tell me why. And 9 times out of 10, you'll be right.
Someone's going to come to you with Papyrus and be like, It's the font they use for Avatar. I'm like, yeah, that was wrong back then too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, being, you know, accountability, being able to be comfortable, vulnerability, right? Being able to receive that constructive criticism, being able to make the appropriate choices, but also as a leader be, again, own the choice. There's a difference between accountability when it's brought up to you and accountability when you've learned that maybe it's not the best thing, right? There's accountability in public and there's accountability in private, right? Hold yourself accountable to the decisions you make. Don't run and hide. Don't sit in the shade. Don't whatever. Own up to the things that you've done even before things get weird. I can't tell you the amount of decisions that have been made in Eminence where I've made a decision and before that thing goes live, I catch my own mistake and go, guy, whoa, hold on. I made a mistake real quick. This is what it needs to be. We need to backstep just a little bit. Everybody, are we all on the same page? And we won't move. I don't give no stamps or anything. None of us do until everybody is aware that this mistake was made. This is where we're going to mitigate it. This is why. Are we all good? Yep. Send it. Accountability in private is not the same as accountability in public. Right. Same thing with deck choices. Same thing with meta calls. Same with going to Friday night FNM. All those things. Right. Own your thing.
That's a great perspective. I think that's kind of the theme of this whole conversation. Right. Is personal accountability and how it translates to public lifestyle. Right. There's a million ways you can end at this result. If you're an introvert, if you're an extrovert, if you are a leader, if you're up and coming. There's so many ways you can go about it. And I think that a key to success just across the board is always being able to consider that there's a better way of doing something, doing it what it is that you do.
So a personal note about me, my father was a Navy man. He's a heavy equipment mechanic. And my mother is a teacher's aide and a full-blown teacher now with autistic children. So my house is full of fuck around and find out. And when it looks at those decisions and where we're sitting at in terms of the meta, the group, the people, the decisions we're making, so on and so forth, I was always brought up to understand that there is always a bigger person. There is always a bigger stick. There's always a better card. There's always a better line. There's always a best decisions that I can aim to get to. I don't know what that best decision is. I have to work to get there. And I think that if more people had that perspective of, yes, my deck is awesome, but there is a better one and I need to prepare myself to get to that point. If we had that perspective and we didn't sit just in, I am the biggest, I am the best, there'd be a big shift in people's kind of seat with certain conversations.
A single tear drops from my face as like, I'm never going to play Tatiova again, at least for the foreseeable future in a tournament.
Yeah.
You see that all the time in the community, though. Everybody always has their, like, once they build their deck, their 100 cards, they're like, okay, cool, this is perfect and done. That's just not true, right? It takes definitely time, not. And you have to constantly keep evolving and shifting and changing.
Yeah, especially with the rate of set releases, right? Like, this is a conversation for a different podcast as well, and we can talk about it in the future. But looking at card selection, how you navigate all of the cards that are coming out and everything else, like, your deck is only going to be as good as it is right now. That's it. If you think that this is the best iteration of your deck, as soon as a new set comes out, the possibility is no longer 100%. Now that needle has shifted to 90, 80, 70, whatever it is, because there may be a card in there that is going to shift that dial. It's going to change those things a little bit. And you have to be able to look at all those things. You have to be open to those conversations. You have to be able to ask those questions too. Hey guys, this is what I intend to do. Does anybody see any awesome things that could possibly do this thing? Right. Being open to that's how you get better as a player. That's why, you know, Ian is as good as he is and Charles is as good as he is. And like my power nine that I talk about, right. Of, you know, these are my power nine of CEDH. That's how those people get good. Is they're asking questions. They're constantly evaluating things. You can't just definitively put a stamp on one list and go, yep, this is the thing. It may be the thing right now, but give it 2 weeks. Somebody's going to crack something and that'll be it. And you have to be able to move and shift and shuffle. And, you know, maybe that's another leadership lesson of always make sure that you're able to ride the wave more so than I'm just a statue in the community. Look at me and here we are. Cause you know, you have to be able to change, you have to be able to adjust, flexible, right? If you have to be able to be flexible, you have to be able to adapt. You know, some folks want to run huge events. Some people think that they're capped at 16. You have to be able to adapt your structure. You have to be able to adapt your rule set and what you're going through to kind of fit what the possibilities are.
All right. So with that, guys, let's move into our coffee break of the week. We are obviously drinking coffee. We are Commander and Coffee, but we have a special guest on here. So, Mike, give us a hint. What's your favorite coffee? What do you drink normally? What's your coffee of choice?
Judge-free zone.
I'm going to be very honest here. I enjoy just a very good black hazelnut coffee. I'm a big French press fan. On my honeymoon, my wife and I, we went to Vermont, and when we were in Vermont, we were right next door to the Eastern Mountain Coffee Company. So we got
Vermont is such a good coffee state.
Oh my God. And we got beans right out of there. And it was like the freshest black coffee I've ever had in my life. And from that point forward, I just drink black coffee. Hazelnut is usually my coffee of choice. My wife is about as basic as they come, and our house is full of pumpkin. So, Bill, I know you'll be happy, there's a lot absolutely of pumpkin in here. But yes, a good hazelnut coffee. Oh, yes, please sign me up. No sugar, no cream. Just make it right. So,
man after my own heart.
Do you grind your beans? Do you have a Keurig? What's your normal routine?
My normal routine is just make a pot of coffee, right? Nothing fancy. But if I'm feeling like I have the time. I want to slow roll a Saturday morning and just take care of business. I do have a bean grinder. Oh my God, you guys just reminded me. I had the cinnamon bun coffee that we bought from Vermont while we were up there. And I bought the beans. It was like maple syrup and cinnamon. And the beans were kind of like had the cinnamon and maple in it.
Like a little like candy shell on the outside of the beans, maybe.
That was good coffee for sure. And it had all of the flavors. You could drink it black because it had a little bit of the sweet in it from the maple and all of that. But oh man, was that good. But grind all the beans up, do the French press, right? And, you know, take it from there.
Yeah, that's exciting.
So with that being said, if you could drink your hazelnut cinnamon coffee with any three people dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Ooh.
Celebrity or not, does not have to be a celebrity. It could be anybody you want.
I feel like this is a loaded question because you're in a call up with like three people who, you know.
If it's not us, we're offended.
Right, we're immediately scrapping this episode. It's fine. No.
Again, I don't live in a world of absolutes, so this episode can make it or it can't. I'm just enjoying the conversation. We dead or alive? This is an interesting one. Robin Williams.
That's a great poll.
That's a really good poll. Wait, just are we like talking
three of his characters?
Yeah, just Genie.
Yeah, right. Robin Williams. I forget that guy's name now, which is amazing because he's like one of my favorite scientists of all time.
Oh, which one? That this is my alley. What did he do that was famous?
He was the physicist.
Louis Pasteur.
Nah, he was the physicist that said, you know, you don't know a subject well enough until you can teach it using simple words. Last name starts with a P.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, exactly. And as soon as you say it, I'm going to be like, son of a bitch. I forgot.
I know. See, I personally, like, I don't have full disclosure to the podcast. I don't have a tattoo yet. I've been trying to work and workshop my tattoo, and I finally found what I want. And it's from one of my favorite.
That wasn't Einstein, was it?
No, I think it was. I think it's Richard Feynman.
But, yes. Like, one of my favorite scientists and everything is Carl Sagan. And he has a saying that says, I am star stuff. Yes. And they're able to do it in the organic amines in an organic symbol. And I'm a huge chem nerd. And that's what I want. That's my first tattoo.
So Robin Williams, Richard Feynman, and then my grandfather on my dad's side. My grandfather on my mother's side, I was very close to. My grandfather on my dad's side, I was even closer to. And he was a very big family man. He was a military guy. He was, you know, my dad's side is all military. He was an army dude. Dad's in the Navy, so on and so forth. But he was the kind of guy that like
sounds like someone who would also appreciate black coffee.
Yes, very much so. He taught you how to take pride in the things that you did, but also to understand that you didn't do them alone. And I think that he would be very proud of where we are at as a group. And I would love to be able to sit down and kind of share that with him and just catch up because he's been gone for quite some time at this point, probably 10, 15 years at this point. But Robin Williams, Richard Feynman, and my grandfather on my dad's side, those would be my three people.
Love that.
Awesome. Good group.
Love that.
Good group to see. Excellent to hear. Well, thank you very much for that.
No problem.
To kind of wrap up coffee segment here, pumpkin spice. What pumpkin spice flavor you got for me this week?
So since we're doing quite a bit of a different podcast today, I figured we're going to go a little bit different. By a little bit, I mean a lot of it. I actually have a pumpkin coffee beer. It's called Pumpkin Nitro Cold Brew Coffee Imperial Pumpkin Ale. It literally tastes like a pumpkin coffee, nitro brewed, and then alcohol was involved.
It's just like right up your alley.
It's literally right up my alley. Like, I can't be happier. I really can't be happier.
It was designed for you, by you.
I mean, maybe.
I showed up to Billy's place. The door's unlocked. He's already in his recording space, and like I'm Santa Claus. He has the space prepared for me with, like, the lap desk, the mic, and one of these pumpkins. So it's fantastic. It's creamy, which I think speaks to like the nitro brew a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is like a full on pumpkin ale, but it has the spices going on, right? It has those like fall nutmeggy spices going on. I think it's more creamy than it is spiced. I think the flavor profile is really well balanced. I'm digging it. I mean, mine's nearly empty. I think I have a good, I've developed a really good internal clock for how long these podcasts go on. So I'm going to finish like right when we finish. Yeah. Thumbs up. Good choice, Billy.
Thank you. Thank you. I saw it. I'm like, I have to get it. This is it. I mean, either I'm going to drink it all and I'm like, nope, I got to save one for an episode. I got to save it. And I'm like, this is the perfect one.
It's from Southern Tier Brewing Company in New York.
Yes.
So a local-ish brew.
Yes.
I don't know how far their selling range is, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure you can probably get it shipped to you too. So coming out of the coffee break, since normally we would do mulligans here and we're not really doing a deck here, we kind of figured we'd surprise you a little bit, Mike, and catch you completely off guard.
Send it. You can't.
Look outside your back door.
It's impossible. You cannot catch me off guard.
Check outside your door.
Surprise!
Look under your chairs.
Got him.
So no, we found, I mean, me personally, in my life, I always felt that leaders, and I mean, Chris, you are a leader in your actual job. Jared, you're going for art management. Sometimes your employees or the people that work technically under you or work with you directly, you get those surveys that go out and they're like, yep, they're surveys, but you never really hear like the candid comments about you.
Yeah.
So I reached out to a couple of your team members and I asked them to say a couple words about you.
Good. This will go well.
So, yeah.
Bullshit,
I'm going to surprise you.
Correct.
That kind of works.
Talk about like we're a team and we do things together. Remember that.
We're catching with your pants down.
This is it. I'm calling the lawyer.
So I did ask them if they wanted to use their names or their Twitter handles. Some of them opt for that. Some of the Twitter handles, some of them off the username. So, right off the bat, Mikey. I
know who they are, anyways.
Yeah, right. We're going to know who they are. So, Mikey, right off the bat, he said he's a lovable teddy bear that is kind to everyone, but is also one of the most efficient workers I've seen, and he is the backbone of Eminence, and the company would not be where it's at without him.
Yeah, that sounds like my kid. That sounds about right. Yeah. But on the flip side to that, Mikey is a terrific force to be reckoned with himself. He's the yin to my yang. He's all the things. Sometimes I do get a little bit hyper invested into something or I overinflate something, right? I'm not perfect. Mikey is kind of my balance. He's the guy that pulls me back in. So I'm glad that he said, I'm happy that he said those things, but his time in the sunlight is, he's a force to be reckoned with himself. So,
you know, you guys must have, that must be a main saying for you guys, because Z-Rob actually said that guy is too good at his job and a force to be reckoned with.
Clearly Mike says that phrase a lot.
To be honest, I just try to, Zane is another one that's just like, we have a whole branch that's built around, right? So we all have a branch that's just our thing. I do the outreach, right? Mikey controls the event management. Zane is the technology branch, right? So he's the head of development in that space. And Zane, I said earlier that I don't toot my own horn and I don't tell people what to do. I don't lead from a mystical bench. But one thing that I have told the team to do is it's the weekend. Do not touch the phone. If I need you, I will get you because I know how. But go. Enjoy it, right? Too many people, too many content creators grind, and then burn out, and that's it. I don't want that for my group. And Zane is the kind of guy that I've told Zane a number of times, like, hey, put the computer down. Go do some things. You need to go. And Zane's weird, though, because when Zane works, that's like his cathartic state. Zane has a lot of things going on right now, but when he works on like the things that he's doing for Eminence and stuff, like the man is a perfect fit for the group and the style that we're on because he's so passionate about what he does and where he's at and the things that he's going through and his ideas, that's his home base. That's his center point. like we couldn't have the technology branch without him being there. He's crucial. He's critical. So
your entire team, I got to interact with them in Pun City, got to know them a little better throughout that, through you, the whole nine. The things that they're genuinely good people. Like, overall, like, these guys are the best, some of the best people that I've ever met in the community. And I mean, we're relatively new to the community. I mean, when we first met Zane, it was literally Chris and I built a deck, and we were five cards off from the deck that he did not list. And he was hunting me down. And here I come just walking into him. And the thing is, I never met him before in my life. I didn't know what he looks like. Chris tells me, he goes, "Hey, you know the guy, you know that guy who built also like a similar deck?" And I go, "Yeah." He says the guy with the dark hair. I think he says the guy with the long hair. So I walk up to Mikey and hand him my deck and be like, "Yeah, you should check this out."
Sounds about right.
Yep. And like Chris, I literally could feel Chris's just entire like face just drop to the floor.
He's mentally shriveling like a raisin.
And Mike looks at me, goes, "Why do I need this?" And I went, and he goes, "That's this guy," and points over at him. And I just, without missing a beat, maintaining perfect eye contact, Mike pick up the deck out of his hand, walk over to Zane, hand it to him, go, "Yo, what's up, man? Check this out."
Yeah, we're pretty grounded individuals. Zane and Mikey are definitely very, you wouldn't know it because of the way things kind of operate, but they are very down-to-earth human beings. Shout out to anybody who's listening to this. If you see any of us and for some reason you finally know who I am and you understand my face and where we're at and you see us, for the love of God, come say hi. It's all, I will give you a high five. I'm a hugger. If you want a hug, I'll give you a hug. Like, we're all good. Come on down.
Well, that's actually a funny mention. One of the things that's funny is, you know, like in real world, you have like, oh yeah, like he's a celebrity and he's so cool and stuff like that. At least for me, This is just me speaking personally for me. It's like, if anybody here listens to the podcast and you're ever scared to come up and like, dude, I'm a normal guy. I work a 9-to-5, just like everybody else. Like, I just do this cause I love to do this and I have fun doing it. Like, come talk to me. Like, I'm a normal human being. Like, there's no difference. Come and say hi, come and chat.
Yeah.
We're always available.
Yeah. That's why, like, on our portfolios, because we want to make sure that the people can get a hold of the right people for certain questions and decisions and stuff like that. We have on their head, you know, head TO of Eminence or director of Eminence and stuff like that. But you'll never see me be running around and be like, I'm the guy. Cause it's irrelevant. If you learn and you want to come up and say hi, and you know, it happened at the shop yesterday, you know, a guy was like, "Oh wow, you're the guy that runs Eminence." I'm like, "I'm a guy that runs Eminence, sure." Like, yeah, "My name's Mike. It's a pleasure to meet you. How are you?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, we just bought your t-shirt. We got this, we got that. You know, we can't go to San Jose, but we're doing Mox Masters next weekend. We're really excited for this." Like, those are incredible community building moments that we shouldn't miss at all because of any sort of shyness or celebrity off-put anything. I would much rather shake the hand and give a hug to the casual person that is just like me than, you know, run around and play celebrity. That's just not who we are. Everybody puts the pants on one leg at a time. Ain't nobody doing backflips around here.
You guys wear pants?
Sometimes. Hold up. Sometimes.
Sometimes. So I got two more for you, since we tend to do usually four mulligans.
There's more.
So this one's from Alchemist.
Oh, jeez.
His was the most longest one, and I liked it. It's good.
Bill died.
You'll never know.
That's okay.
It's right. You'll never know.
I can hear him in the background of your audio.
I don't know what happened. Hold.
This is the end of your free trial. If you want the entire review on LinkedIn.
Perfect.
All right. Where should I just start over? Or?
Sure. Start the Aquan over again.
All right.
You're doing great.
Your audio is better now.
Is it?
You are just all star today.
I know, right? So, Alchemist, they said, genuinely one of the best, not just magic personalities, but people I've met. Pure passion without an ounce of ego. How he approaches the game is how the community should aspire to be. He makes it easy to find the drive to work on new ideas
because he will support your idea with the same vigor as if it was his own. But he will also be incredibly honest with you, and there's no sugarcoating or smokescreens with him. He's really just a great guy. And I believe that really does, like, out of everything, that encapsulates everything we talked about today, is literally that entire quote. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So Alchemist, he's a new addition to the group, but he's always been somebody that, like, we've had our eyes on and we've talked to a lot. And he has so many positive things about the community and wants just to move the world to make sure that, like, we get this mission done, right? And it's a moving needle, so this will never be complete. But it's always just, what's the next thing that we can give back? What's the next thing? Like, I have opinions, I have thoughts. And the biggest thing for him, I think, was the openness in communication. Where, you know, instead of it just being, you know, this is the way it is and this is the way we're doing it and that's that, right? We've always kind of, we've emphasized the need of open communication and teamwork for these decisions, right? I will make a decision and I say, but I'm one of four people, right? So you got my 25%. What's the other 75 say? And we operate off of that. And he's a great example of the kind of that team spirit, right? He's a newer person. He's part of our online TO group, right? We are working to make sure that any group that wants to do an online event can reach out to us and we will help you run them. And he's a huge part of that. He's done a tremendous job. So I'm glad that he has positive thoughts and, you know, I'm not an asshole yet. So.
So in our last one, simple, quick, this is the snap keep of them, is from Helenium. And he's
simply, not a member of Eminence.
Not a member of Eminence. But he simply had this to say. Daddy!
That it is in all definitely caps. Yes, that is how. Yes. Not a member of Eminence, but if there was an enthusiast out of any of them, Hal would be one of them. He's that's a good dude right there. I've given him many a hug. I've had many a conversation. I've had many a drink. 10 out of 10 human being. Interesting stories. If you ever have an opportunity to sit down at a campfire and have a drink with Hal, everyone should do it. You'll come out of it as a better person.
That's a podcast idea.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Well, I think that is a wrap. For all our listeners out there, we want to thank you guys so much for listening. Mike, I want to personally thank you for coming and hanging out with us today. If people want to learn more about Eminence, CDHU, or your inner thoughts, where can people find you?
I currently manage three Twitter accounts. The Eminence account is EminenceMTG on Twitter. The CDHU account is CDHUniversity. On Twitter, and then StormCount120 is my personal account. So if you ever want to yell at me personally and tell me how much of a rude son of a gun I am, that is the place. You can do that, and I will ask you why, and we will come to a friendship at the end of that for sure. Outside of that, eminence.events has a lot of our information on it from our events standpoint. If you're looking to get into our Command Tower beta, you can email us at contact@eminence.events. And then we just have Discords. We have Discords everywhere. If you find me on Discord, I'm the Eternal Optimist /CDH Dead. That's the thing. So find me, ask me questions, whatever you want to do. I am more than happy to talk to you and debate about just about anything. So
awesome. Well, again, thanks again so much for coming on. Listeners, all links will be in the show notes below, so all of that contact information he just gave will be down there, so make sure you check that out. I will plug again, welcome to come to CDHU and help to learn from a lot. I know we have a couple exciting seminars coming up. I know personally I'll be doing one in a couple weeks here. Really excited to do that. I know we did two, I think, have gone live by this point in time.
Yes.
Very cool and very well-driven stuff there. So make sure you follow us as well, Commander and Coffee, on all social media platforms. And again, thanks again for listening. So with that, I'm Chris.
I'm Billy.
And my name is Y.
And we are all out of coffee. Have a good night, everybody.